Eu quero tchutcha, tchá, tchutcha, tchá, tchutcha, tchá. Já cantei barabará, já cantei bererê, já cantei o tchutcha, tchá, pra você fizer lelê. Hello and good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for coming out to Live with Body Pal. I do appreciate you stopping by. We got a special guest for everybody tonight. His name is Dante. He's prison to profit. Thanks for coming out, buddy. How are you, man?
Good, man. How you doing? Doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Excellent, excellent. How's the weather in your area, man? We're getting pouring rain right now.
Oh, it's decent right now. I mean, this second, but you asked it'll probably rain in about 10 seconds now just because you said that.
Yeah, yeah. So knock on some wood somewhere if you can find it, right?
I know, right?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, tonight I'm going to pick your brain over things that I am personally very curious about because I see your videos and your work that you do with the bin stores. Uh-oh. And I think you do a lot of Amazon. Am I right there?
A little bit of Amazon. Try to do a
okay.
lot.
Okay, so you're mostly on eBay. And it's the bin stores that I really know I can pick your brain on because I have flopped big time over and over and over again. So I want to learn some strategies from you. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, let's get it. I'm ready.
Well, if you are in the chat and you have any questions for Dante, just throw them in the chat and we will make sure to ask him along the way. I also put a poll in the chat and it's asking you about his convention that he's got in October. So if you could go ahead and answer to that poll and we'll come back to that later in the show. Well, first off, we got Ken SSK Promos here. He's a good supporter of the channel. I'm so glad you came, Ken. Thanks for hanging out, my friend.
He's a supporter of the community.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
ran into you in Cincinnati, ran into Ken in Cincinnati. It's been a while since we talked about that, though. So let me pick your brain on that. What was your takeaway from that rally?
There are a lot more good people in this world than I give credit.
Oh, that's a good one, man. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. Bravo. Bravo. Yeah. Did you, you drove there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was like, did I? But yeah, I did drive there, but I was on my way to South Carolina, so that was like a nice little pit stop for me.
And you're kind of are you still dual dwelling in two different locations, or have you officially moved?
No, yeah, I reside in Michigan.
Do you now? Okay. Yeah. Closed down shop in South Carolina. All right. Made the move. Well, I always like to start my interviews with something I call the lightning round, okay? Yep. It's just kind of this or that type questions. Try to figure out how your brain works, what you enjoy in life, and give us a little impression on who you are a little bit more. Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are none of them are related to the other. They're just off the wall, okay? Cat or dog?
Dog.
Oh, that was slow. Dog?
Yeah.
Are you thinking about it?
Yeah, I mean, certain situations, I would pick one of the other. Just depends on the situation, really, to be honest.
All right, but you land with the dog. Okay. Do you prefer to text or phone call?
Oh, text.
Oh, yeah? Even when you're wanting to talk to whoever it is you talk to?
I think prison broke that because before I went to prison, I was always wanted to talk on the phone, but now it's like text.
Just text it. Text it. Even if the conversation goes on for a long time, you just want to text it?
Text.
Okay.
It also depends on who it is too, but for the most part, just text.
Okay. Good deal. All right. Bacon and eggs or chicken and waffles?
Chicken and waffles. I don't eat pork.
Oh, okay. Did not know that. I personally never had chicken and waffles. Is chicken good with syrup?
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, my God, it is. There's this place in South Carolina I cannot wait to go back to. Matter of fact, called like Kiki's Chicken and Waffles. It might have chicken and waffles in the name, but they serve chicken and waffles, and it is amazing.
Well, we might have to meet up there, and I'll try it for the first time.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Next question. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Like, no questions asked iPhone.
No questions asked. Because I had an Android for years, and once I switched, it was over with. Like, in the beginning, I was like, it's really no difference. It's pretty much the same thing, blah, blah. But it's the convenience factor in the iPhone. I mean, I'm sure the Android's caught up by now, but Probably yeah. not, but still, it's just like how it just
that was everything a quick shot, like, dude.
how everything is just like linked. It's convenience. More
you
than
thought anything. I missed that shot, but no, I caught it. Nah, man. I mean, we're not in the Stone Age anymore. We're definitely caught up. All right, football or basketball?
Oh boy, that's good. Oh,
like you can only watch one of these sports and never the other one. Which one?
Tar Heel. It would be Tar Heel basketball then.
All right, there you go, basketball. And last one, cake or ice cream?
Cake.
Cake. Like birthday yeah. cake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that birthday
cheesecake.
Cake.
Cheesecake.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. That's like right in the middle of cake and pie. But no, it's definitely a cake. We got some people in the crowd saying hello. Let's say hey to Katie Reed. Katie. Thanks so much for showing up, Katie.
How you doing?
Pablo P. Hey, guys. I'm Mr. Paul Reselling on Instagram. Well, thanks for Hello. Joining us, my friend. I think you may be the first-time guest here on the show. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Mr. Paul.
Steve-O Resells. Hey,
Steve-O.
Buddy. Appreciate you. And Steve-O is a football fan. Yeah, I kind of got to agree with Steve-O on that one. I'm more of a football fan myself.
But you said if I only could pick one for the rest of my life,
I
would rather watch football, like it's NFL, and then mm-hmm. it's college basketball. Like those are the two things I'm most passionate about. So I guess that's what it really is.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, if I could only do one, it's going to have to be college football. So, but even if you not like, notice I didn't put baseball in there because baseball is like above both of those. So anyway,
go Tigers.
Well, hey, let's talk about a little bit of Ben's store picking, if you will. I know in South Carolina, there was that store called Dream Deals, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys in South Carolina kind of put it on the map pretty quickly, but it's not there anymore, if I'm not right. Or it's been re-bought out and opened back up as something else.
It's been turned into something else.
I kind of feel like I can't help but think that there may be a reason for that. So let me pick your brain on this. When you're a reseller and you're in that store, what are two big tips for finding resellable profit in one of those bin stores?
For finding, mm-hmm. that's scanning items, checking sold comps.
Scanning and checking sold comps.
It's like any store that you go to, any other store that you go to.
I guess what makes it different from Goodwill? To me, it's the rush, right? To me, it's the rush in the it's so heavily populated on that day, on that restock day, right?
Yeah, but that's only like that one day. So in that first 15-minute period is going to be a nice little rush. The store is going to be packed. But as just a regular reseller, like you can go on any day. You don't have to go right when the store opens. You can go on like the lull days, like a Goodwill would be. You walk into Goodwill sometimes and it's kind of packed. Mm-hmm. Depending on what Goodwill you go to. If you go to a Goodwill bins, it can be probably crazier than some of the bins that I go to. So, I mean, it just all depends on the store, I guess. But, I mean, for me, there is a particular strategy, but just make sure you're always checking sold comps on every item that you pick up, and that's a bit. And whatever your profit margins may be, as far as that store, why that store shut down, I think that had something mainly to do with like ownership. That was more ownership than anything. Why
really?
That store, faltered.
You don't think it was anything to do with the way it was ran? I mean, I guess kind of ownership. And management is all the same. You've been to more than just that one though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Crazy Cas Boys or any others,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You saw a difference in the way they were managed and ran?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, it's all about the product that you're keeping your bins, because that's what's going to draw the customers from coming back.
Makes sense.
So, and then behind that, it's like all the manufacturer that you have. Who are you dealing with? How are you getting these products in? So I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus because,
No bus drivers around.
How would I say? Allegedly. I'm going to say this just in case I get sued or something. Allegedly. If you ever run a business like that, of course, there's more than one thing you have to worry about. Like I said, the products that's in the bins is going to be a key factor. But then
right.
how are you getting these items for the products in your bin? So once you get over your head sometimes you might step out the box and stop getting too far ahead of yourself. So you may try certain strategies that just aren't meant to be tried at a certain point in time, especially during like pandemic times and stuff like that, trying to, you know, continue it. And I guess that would be consistency. You don't have like a, you had a consistent supplier, but you're trying to beat that supplier out. So you wanted to get greedy, I guess, in essence.
Cut the middleman out. You go.
Yeah, exactly. So then you can burn holes and burn bridges. I mean, that's just my personal take of what probably happened, may or may not happen, allegedly. But, you know, that's why I think that Ben Stiller kind of faltered. And I believe karma is a true thing anyway.
Oh, I agree with you on that. Yeah. You get what you, the, it comes around. What goes around comes around, right?
Yeah.
That store then. How about just generically Ben Stores in general?
But not even that store in general, because I don't want to just make it seem like we're just bashing dream deals. There was another store in the same area. They had a Ben store, and I walked in the Ben store, and it was the same thing. And I talked to the owner myself personally, and I was like, yo, if you don't change your ways, you're going to be shut down in like a few weeks. I was wrong. It wasn't a few weeks. It was like a month and a half.
That's a few weeks.
Yeah, and you can tell, because, again, it goes back to like the product. This guy, he was just didn't care about the product. He didn't have a problem getting the items. He just had a problem for like replenishing the items that was in the bins. He just wanted to keep the items in the bins all day long and didn't want to really restock his bins. So the same item could be in the bin for the past 4 or 5 weeks. And that's where that greed comes in. You're trying to like milk every single penny and every single dime. Like sometimes you have to take a loss, or not. It's not even a loss, because if you put your eggs in the right basket, you know, it's okay to lose inventory sometimes, because it's just not a loss. It's a donation. It's inventory that's you're clearing out for more space for newer inventory. And a lot of people have that problem, even just like as general sellers, they want to hold on to those items in their shed, holding up space for 17 years when another item could have came in that same spot and sold for them. And that Ben store had that problem. So that's why they shut down. And it's just, again, a lot of businesses shut down because of ownership. And that's the sad reality of it. Obviously, the pandemic could happen and that hurt a lot of businesses in general. But in certain situations, it's just ownership. And if you don't strategize properly for anything, even for like failure or setting yourself up, like if you start anything, you should already have a strategy just in case something falters. And a lot of people don't think about that. A lot of people think about, oh, this is going so great, and they really and truly don't have a backup plan or a fail safe.
All right. That's not just good business advice. That's good personal life advice too. Appreciate that. Everybody, man, you've got a lot of fans out here in the chat. We got Urban Fossaker. We got Josh from Flips Finds Funds. I saw Evan here. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. And we got Dina from Thrifty Junker. Yeah. Appreciate everybody stopping by. Dark County Picker. I want to remind everybody on Point You, there's a there's a poll in the chat about the convention, and I would like for you to answer it, please, because that's going to come into play later in the show. So Dante, you sound like you've talked to these managers. You've kind of gotten a sense for how their product is bought and brought to the store and how they plan their days and their restocking. But from a reseller's perspective, would you say it is more more beneficial to show up early on the restock days, or to let that time go by and just take your time later throughout the day, or even 2 or 3 days later? When do you, Prison to Profit, find the best resellable items at a bin store?
Oh man, truly. Okay, true answer. So I find the best, and that's so subjective. That word right there is so subjective. But the best items literally can be any day that you walk in the bin store. Okay. Sometimes I get up earlier in that morning just because obviously I know some of the higher dollar items will be there. But in my mind, what high dollar isn't necessarily what high dollar could be to somebody else. And then, okay, so here's just a perfect example. So if I get there on restock day, which I know restock days are like Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning. If I get there early, 2 hours early, and I'm third, fourth in line, I know I have a higher percentage of grabbing more of the higher dollar items as if I did just come in there on a regular day or later on that day than just walking in. Because you have a lot of people who do come in there. They really come in there just for their personal reasons. They come there early because they love the what's it called? What happens in November? The Black Friday feeling. They love that Black Friday rush. And then you have your resellers who come in there too. But if you're like one of those high percentage resellers, obviously you're going to find some high dollar items. But if I walk in there after everybody's going through that store and I walk in that store, I guarantee I may find an item probably higher, I mean, worth more profit than if I would have came at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's really, to me, all the luck of the draw. I mean, it's all about scanning each and every item, digging properly, and just going from there and whatever your profit margin is. I mean, because I can go on a dollar day. I mean, again, we've seen it. I go on dollar days and find $50 and $60 items. Those items were there on the restock days. People just overlook them or don't find them. So, I mean, my profit margins, they really vary. I mean, I go to the bin store just whenever I feel like I need to go. Like, and you got to think like the fill a bag days, those are profitable for you as well. So just random.
Good. So Paula has a question for you real quick. His question is, what is your backup plan?
Success.
Backup plan is success. Yeah. A little bit more.
Success.
In whatever you do, right?
Yeah, honestly, I'm about to go off on a whole tangent. So I used to have this
crutch. I don't mind stories at all.
Well, I used to have this crutch where I didn't really believe in myself, man. So everything I thought I was going to do, I thought was going to fail. Or, you know, I know I just got through talking about a backup plan here a few minutes ago, but obviously I do have backup plans, and all those plans lead to success in some form or fashion in one way or another. But as far as now, like I don't plan on going in to get another job. So if you're talking about like job wise, backup plan is I don't plan on going in to get another job unless I actually literally have to. If it comes a day where I can't really feel like reselling can pay for all of my bills and everything I need to do, I'll go get a job if I have to. And the backup plan is it's no particular job right now. And I mean, I think I have the skills to go get around in about 4 or 5 fields I can go get into right now and probably make good money. Probably not the best money in the world, but it will lead up to that. I mean, I have certain skills inside of me that I know, like there's too many forms of making money, man. And so my backup plan is more entrepreneurial ideas. And it's not like I just do resale. Like for me now, YouTube is a job, you know, like I literally take YouTube seriously for me, putting out content and things like that. I mean, I do it when I want to on the pace that I want to, but in the back of my mind, it's like, you need to do it. Like I have to take that seriously because YouTube is a backup plan. Reselling is another, I mean, they're all backup plans. Like I really don't, like, I know what I want to do the end game. Like hopefully
they help each other out.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, there's so much more, like the merch, there's affiliate marketing. There's just so much more to just.
Yeah. So your plan is that you got enough going on right now that if one's slow, the others will carry you through.
Yeah.
Right?
Rental property. Yeah. So hopefully that all
look
this
there.
Leads
he
to
just
like
threw rental out rental property. That's a really good one too.
Like hopefully that's what this is going to lead all that into. And then once I get certain 3 or 4 houses or whatever, and then hopefully that turns into getting beachside commercial property. And that way, you know, put a business on Surfside or somewhere up and pop in Mexico beach, you know, just small things like that. That's like my end goals. Those Bill Gates, baby. Like I may not be able to do it on the internet, but there's so many different markets that we can do out here. And it's possible, man. It's so feasible. I wouldn't have said that 4 or 5 years ago. My backup plan would have been, I'll just go be a server, you know?
Right. But now you're looking way beyond. I've always said that talents actually help you make, I guess, be more successful. Talents, your inner talents or your physical talents help you to be more successful than just knowledge. You know, knowing how to do a specific talent, like let's say welding, for example.
Facts.
You know, that's a talent. It takes a lot of practice. It's almost like being an artist or an actor. And those can be more successful than a doctor could in lots of ways.
Absolutely.
Let's say hey to a few new folks in the crowd. Denise Coffee, thanks for stopping by. I do appreciate it. Oh, we got a question for you from Evan. What's the highest profit item you found in a bin store? Ooh, that's got to be a tough one right there. The highest profit item.
I always go to these two things. So the highest profit item. So if we're talking about like one single item, or I found a box of stamps before, and then I found a singular gun before. So the singular gun I paid $5 for, and it sold for $420. on eBay. So you got to think about fees like that. Fees like 30 bucks or something like that. So whatever.
That's profit great. Margin.
And then I found a box of stamps, and inside of the box of stamps were more stamps. And when I say more stamps, it was like maybe at least 2,000, a little bit over 2,000 stamps. Wow. And I think I was selling two packs of stamps at the time for 80 bucks, I think, or 100 packs for,
wow,
I can't remember. It was something like that. I think I was selling like two packs for 80 bucks.
And was that like a $1 purchase or something?
Mm-hmm. That was $1 purchase. And I purchased, and I know I made thousands off of those stamps.
That's awesome. I'd say that's the best find. I mean, you kind of reminded me of the guy who hosted that Pimp My Ride show on MTV. Hey, man, I got stamps for your stamps.
Facts. I had so many stamps. I still have stamps from that, matter of fact, to be honest.
Cool. We got Angelo in here. Thanks for stopping by. I do appreciate it. And Lucky Charm Wendy. Always Wendy. A good fan of the show.
See her at the convention.
Oh, yeah? Will she be there? Mm-hmm. Good deal. Got my first Social Security check. Damn, officially retired.
Let me get a dollar.
I still resell and deliver furniture in my truck. Retired and still working. I hear you, man.
Got
keep
that
on
check.
Doing it. That's what I plan to do. There's no reason to stop as long as my body still moves.
I'm just looking for a dollar. That's it. Just a dollar.
Yeah. So what's your retirement plan? You want to travel? You want to stay at home? You want to have a pool you just sit beside all day long? You want to move to another European country on Fiji or something like that? What's your retirement plan?
Oh, man. So, I think I'll never truly retire. But I want to – the end goal would be just – man, hopefully have that $250,000 just sitting in one account.
Yeah.
And just like day trading certain days, wake up Monday through Thursday or something like that, get my little day trade on, just play with it a little bit. Because you know what I mean? I am not a professional stock person. Don't take this advice to heart. But
you didn't hear it here first.
Yeah. So if you have enough education and you learn like stocks, the stock people don't know, like I learned the stock market before I learned anything else within reselling. But anyways, so if you know the stock market enough, you can kind of tell how it goes up and down. And day trading is fairly easy. Mm-hmm. And once you get to a certain threshold, you can like day trade with no penalties. And that's why I said $250,000. So I believe you can day trade enough to pay your bills. Like if you can do that with a few hundred dollars, just imagine having $250,000 and just being able to watch the stock and watch it go tick up a few cents and turn that $100,000 into hundreds of dollars instantly in front of your face to know you can sell and get out of that market and then go find another stock and just do that over and over and over all day long. It's very minimal. But anyways.
No, it's totally possible. I know a gentleman in my family, he did the same thing for several years in between jobs. Yeah. So it's very, very possible.
Oh, it's definitely possible. And then it's like this other, obviously, I would never stop reselling, flipping and things like that. But I just believe that's like the end goal. That's what I want to be able to do, just retire and just sit on my beach house or whatever. I mean, a beach house. I'll probably still be in the same house. Nice community. Yeah. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Just simple guy, just making money, man. But that's the ultimate goal. That's the goal.
That's the goal. After
all the monies, after I have my little six or seven businesses out there, I just want to be able to say, I took this money right here. All the other money will just be sitting in the bank account. And I took that $250,000 and I'll be living off that until.
That'd be sweet. Tim says, Dante is always inspiring. I get excited about all the possibilities every time I hear him speak. That's some awesome feedback there, man. People also pay me to haul stuff off to the dump, usually 30%, and I save and resell. Yeah, I've never had an opportunity where I'll take that back. I had somebody call me and say, this is our last day of our estate sale for free. If you want anything that's left, you come help us move it from the house to the dumpster. You can take whatever you want. So that's about the only situation I've ever had like that.
That's lovely.
Got a couple of things out of it. Not much,
I want to get to that too. I want to, and then that's just like a, you could just think, you can have somebody out there collecting all this free stuff for you. Cause we know we can get free stuff every single day, somewhere, somehow, some free stuff. Mm-hmm. And you could just have like a little small little mini warehouse, hire one person, have them list all that stuff for you on eBay and literally just be paying them from eBay. And then just grow from there. Like, it's just so many possibilities. Like, people don't really think about all the ways to make money. There really, really is.
I'm toying with an idea. Let me bounce it off of you. And you'll be the first person I actually bounce this off of. I'm thinking, my daughter came to me the other day and she said, Dad, I'm doing all this cheerleading. How am I going to make some money while I'm in high school? And I said, babe, as far as you're living under my house and you're making your grades, you don't have to work while you're in high school. And she goes, well, I'm going to want to be able to go to the mall and go to the movie with my friends. I'm going to need money for something. I was like, I'll tell you what, this is the idea. I'm thinking I'm going to put her on my eBay payroll.
Facts.
Pay her, you know, I'm thinking a graduated percentage based on how fast she's good at, you know, ground level, 10%, everything she takes pictures of and lists for me. I'll review it when it gets to the point where I'm not really hardly changing anything, maybe bump it up to 15%. And then when it gets to the point where she's just doing it all by herself, I'm not having to look over her shoulder for anything, maybe up to 20%, right? That's my thought process. What do you think? You think that'd be a solid idea?
Yeah, facts. I mean, I think anybody should utilize anybody that they know who wants some extra income, even if they're paying somebody $10 an hour, because a lot of people will do this for $9 an hour. Like, just have your homeboy come over and just, hey, man, just take these pictures for me, or your sister, your brother, anybody, like anybody. So many random people, like you said, your kid, and just have them randomly take pictures, give them a small percentage of whatever. And
yep. If you're not willing to do it all yourself, you're going to have, but you got to get the job done. You got to be willing to pay somebody else to do it for you. That's how I see it. I love the sourcing part of it all. I love the picture taking part of it all. It's the listing that gets monotonous. And I know there's apps out there, and I think I'd rather give my daughter money to do it for me than these apps, if that makes sense.
That's
like,
so
I'm not against using an app or buying an app or you know, like Hammock and things like that. I'm not against it. I just feel like I'd rather be giving that money to my daughter to do it for me, right?
I agree.
That's my idea. That's my idea. I hope it floats. I hope she buys the idea and she takes me up on it. We'll see how that goes.
Get that cheddar. Because the more you list, the more you get paid.
The more you list, the better you get at it, then the more you get paid out of it. Hey, Victoria's here. Thanks very much for stopping by, Victoria. We so appreciate you. All right. Don't forget, there is a little poll in the chat. Y'all fill it out, and we're going to talk about that in just a few more minutes when we talk about Dante's convention. But I wanted to ask this before I got on that tangent. I wanted to talk to you about reselling. It's almost as if you're a dog eat dog, reselling products at an Amazon bin store back on Amazon. Is that taboo? There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
I don't think so. I mean, okay. Why would it be?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like if it's in an Amazon bin store, for some reason it failed on Amazon. Is that not right?
But this, okay, some of those items, yes, but some of those items, no. A lot of those items can be just like overstocked items. A lot of those items could be just like shelf pulls. A lot of those items could be like, a lot of these items are like this. Sellers get suspended on Amazon, get their account taken away, and their stuff gets donated.
Really? I did not realize that.
Yeah,
so why would they get rid of it rather than just try to resell it? I guess they're not in the business. Amazon's not in the business of listing it for themselves.
So if the item's profitable, if what item sees is coming back to Amazon, if it's worth its time, if it's worth its money, you know, that's why Amazon usually lets a lot of customers keep their items if they try to go get their refund. If it's not worth their time, they'll let you keep it. If it's kind of worth their time, they'll get it back, inspect the item, and then they'll decide to either donate the item because they'll get a percentage for donating, or they'll just put it back on the market for resale. A lot of people as sellers, so let's say me, for instance, let's say if I sell an item on Amazon and the item comes back and sits in my warehouse, I have an option to like send that item to liquidations now. That's an option for Amazon sellers. So let's say if I go through my inventory, there's a lot of crap that I just feel like it's been there for a while, don't want anymore. Everybody's worried about Amazon storage fees and things of that nature. You can literally liquidate all that inventory and send it to one of these bin stores that we're seeing, or somebody who, it wouldn't even be a bin store. It would be a liquidator actually, because you have to take the proper steps. So we'll have to go to a liquidator or whatever. And you as a seller would get a percentage. It's a small percentage, but it's like 10 to 35% depending on the items that they liquidate for you of whatever you donated or disposed of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about buying your own pallet directly from Amazon returns or liquidation location?
Yeah, that takes, like, you need a certain kind of contract to even get him to even talk to the guy who knows Amazon, who talks to the guy who's Amazon's mailman. That's part's the difficult part. There's probably like a good solid 24 steps before you can even get to Amazon store, because they, you know, I mean, obviously it's Amazon. They already have so many contracts out. They're filled. Like, people, like, if somebody says they're working directly with Amazon, they're probably lying.
And okay, I got you.
Because it's only like, I want to say there's like 6 contracts that Amazon work with, and then there's subcontracts that goes from there. So there's probably like thousands of subcontractors from there. And then from there, there's subcontractors from there. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
And then you're getting to the wholesalers and warehouses who are getting the inventory from Amazon, who gets to bin stores. Like, there's so many levels and steps, because there's so many different types of inventory that comes out of Amazon. You're talking about like your midsize, your largest, the just vast majority of the inventory that comes out of there. Like you said, a lot of that good inventory, like a lot of the shelf pools that are really good inventory. Let's say if something Victoria's Secret has been selling since 2002, the 2007 model, you know what I'm saying, may be horrible. So Amazon's like, okay, we're still selling the 2002 model. The 2007 model is just not fitting our business model anymore. Let's get rid of the 2007 model. And that's where you'll see in the bin stores.
Okay, I got you.
A lot of the times. So,
do you think that these type of stores will be around for a while, or do you think they're just kind of a fad? Maybe they'll die off. They're the new Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard of that comparison yet. See, Dollar Tree's like, in Dollar General, they're like everywhere.
Yeah, what you got to think, like, they're just starting. You got to think, like,
they're only what, 2 years? They've
been around 2 years, about 2 years in, and they've grown since the 2 years. Like, again, my area had 14 to 16 already. And then Michigan, they already have about 6 or 7 in this mm-hmm. area.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's doing nothing but popping up and growing everywhere. Yeah, I just got through talking to the family of Flips, joined them on their live, and they said they were opening up a bin store. They want me to come check theirs out. So, like, it's all over the place. People just don't know how to find them, I think.
Yeah. Lucky Charm Wendy says, I do it every day. Source at the bins and resell online. And Angelo, believe it or not, we don't have Goodwill bins in Atlanta. I do believe that, because it says closest is Columbus, 125 miles away. Hello, that's where I'm at. And it's not even the best Goodwill bins in the world, to be honest with you, but it is the closest for Atlanta, believe it or not. Okay, so let's see, one more. Our bin store was telling us they do Target and Amazon. They can buy 3 times as much inventory from Amazon versus Target. That makes sense. I can't go to this Amazon bin store. Ours is called Black Friday Deals. I don't know if that's got a chain or if it's just what mine decided to name theirs, but I can't look at that store and tell you where it came from unless it's got one of those Amazon barcodes at the bottom. So it could have come from Walmart for all I know. I really don't know.
You can tell. Once you go to these bins, you'll tell if it's Target inventory, Walmart inventory, like, you can Home Depot, like, you can start telling, like, what pallet is this? Oh, okay.
Home Depot.
This is a general dollar pallet right here.
I got you.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Okay, one more question. I I do my, like a lot of my YouTube is based on lunch break picking, meaning I resell part time. I go on my regular 1 hour lunch break to a thrift store or something like that. And that's where I find, and that's where I do my sourcing. Do you think you could be successful if you mixed in, if I were to mix in that Black Friday's Amazon bin store and all I've got is 30 to 40 minutes on my lunch break? Is that enough time? Is that worth my time, or or am I wasting my time?
What day would it be on your break?
Well, it would be, I mean, theoretically I can make it any day of the week. They're closed on Thursday. Friday is their restock day.
Yeah. I would say on their dollar day. Like for you, since you're not going to be able to catch the prime cream crop of it on their first day, if you can't go in the first hour and a half on the restock day, don't go that day, period. Okay. Just wait until, don't even go the next day. So don't even go like the next restock, or not the restock day, but the next dollar drop price day. So if it goes from $6.5 to $3, go on a $3 day. $3 day, between three and fill a bag day is like the money maker days. Because those are the days you're going to, it's like dollar day. I mean, just think about it. You're not paying $3 for any item. The average item profit that you're going to come out with is 20.
Okay.
I mean, that depends on how you pick too, obviously.
Yeah, I think that my dollar day would be the next to last day, because the last day is a 50-cent day. So maybe the $3 day, which is the Monday following.
And the reason I say that is because I think between, like, for me, and this is going to sound crazy,
okay,
$3 on an item and $1 on an item is a massive difference.
Yes, especially if you buy 15 items.
Yes, it's a massive difference. So that's why I say go check out all the days, and then you'll narrow down like which day for your profit margin is the best.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, I think, again, you'll go on any day and you'll find something, but then you'll start getting the hang of, okay. I mean, especially when you go on like the earlier day, even if you go on that $5 day, because you'll have an idea of what's going to be there on the $1 day or $2 day.
Yeah. Do they still put new tables out throughout the week with new stuff?
No.
Okay. So they just consolidate tables and then like close down half the store because they consolidated these tables together. Okay.
And they just pretty much throw a bunch of stuff in bins. Mm-hmm. Literally every day they'll open the doors, let you come pick through it. After everybody leaves, they'll shut the doors and just flatten the bins out. And then next day, keep doing the same thing over and over and over.
I just thought that maybe they're still wheeling stuff out from the back, covered. I just thought maybe they opened a new pallet on a Saturday, even though Friday was their restock day. I don't know.
Victoria, it depends on the store, too.
Yeah. I just went to the bins last week for the first time since the pandemic started. Yeah, it's very, very crowded up in there. Hey, Larry, I haven't seen you here before. Thanks for coming by, my friend. I do appreciate it. We have Crazy Kaz Boys, which is hit or miss with
the
bins.
They are hit and miss.
But I have done really well with them. Okay, that raises a new point. Membership fees. I know Crazy Kaz Boys.
I don't deal with Crazy Kaz Boys for that. I made a video about that. I was like, why would I pay a member? And again, take for granted that we had 14 in my area. So I'm not about to pay a membership fee to a bin store knowing I can just go to anyone.
Yeah.
And they were cheaper. Like Crazy Kaz Boys, I think there was like $7 there. And just like you said, the membership rules, I'm paying $15 a year, or was it $15 annually, $5 a visit or something. I don't even know what it is. $15, I don't know.
I don't remember. To be honest with you, I do not remember.
It's too much for me. It's too much for me because I know I wouldn't utilize it like that. There were too many bin stores in the area for me to even think about going to a Crazy Kaz.
If you only had two in the area, would you think it would be, would that change your mind?
Still wouldn't go.
Okay.
Crazy Kaz Boys would have to be the only bin store within like a 3 hour drive for me to consider getting.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. I'm 62. I go to Goodwill on Tuesdays for the $25 geezer discount.
I need some of that discount.
Don't we all?
I'm going to get my AARP soon.
I wish they had those bin stores here in New Jersey. I've heard it's more or less kind of a southeast thing, but you're in Michigan, so it's made its way up that far north. I don't know. Take a look around, Paulo. See if, like, just type it into your Google Maps or something and look up bin, I don't know, what would you call it? Amazon return store, Amazon bin store, just to see if how far away the closest one is, man.
Real. Check out some of them pallets too, though.
Yeah, the individual pallet. I do have a place I have not looked at yet that sells just the whole pallet. Kind of like if,
oh, it's I not guess Quick Lots.
The black, it, I hope it's not what?
Quick Lots.
No, that's not the name. It's okay. It's really called, I think it's called Let's Make a Deal, to be very honest with you. Crazy Cats Boy sells a lot of stuff on eBay too. That it makes me really wonder. So were they like going through their own pallets first before they put it on the floor?
They're one of those bin stores that they'll go through the pallets, take all the good stuff out and sell the, like, I think you can go, if you type in Crazy Cats Boys on eBay, you should be able to find them.
Really? I honestly haven't done that on eBay.
Spoiler, maybe I shouldn't say who cares, but so this is a fun way you can like find how things will be selling. So let's say if you're about to go to a bin store, you have a bin store in your area.
Yeah.
Go to Crazy Cats Boys, see what they're selling on eBay, and then you'll start noticing those items in the bins. So then you ain't really gotta look up items. You'll be like, oh, I saw that on Crazy Cats Boys site. I know I can sell that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Word to the wise. Keep that in mind. Ken says, not a fan of pallet sellers that advertise as a yard sale. Disappointing to show up to a bunch of new stuff that is marked up to eBay prices. Yeah, gotta love those yard sales.
See a lot of those a lot nowadays.
All right. Let's take a second. Guys, if you're in the chat, I have to first apologize and say I did not have an opportunity this week to be able to come up with a custom game for Dante here. And if you notice, Gary isn't here. He had his in-laws knocked on his door about an hour before the show started, so he couldn't cancel on them. They were already at his house. So what I've decided we're going to do, and Dante is behind me on this, I am going to give – no. Take that back. I'm going to buy your ticket to his convention in October. If anybody is in the chat and is planning on going to the convention, wants to go to the convention, has not bought the ticket yet, I want you to put the money emoji in the chat right now, and I'm going to start writing down your names. And then I'm going to put your name in a random name picker, and we're going to come with one lucky winner who I'm going to buy your ticket to his convention. So while they are doing that, let's look at this poll I put out here in the chat. I asked, are you already signed up for Dante's convention? Just simple, yes or no. 35% said yes, and 65% said no. So that's good that one-third of the chat is already planning on going.
I agree.
I really do appreciate that. So that leaves two-thirds potentially up for grabs. So if you have the plans to go to this convention and you haven't bought the ticket yet, go ahead and put that dollar sign emoji in the chat and I will write your name down in my random name picker. And while they're doing that, Dante, let me ask some questions about this convention. Let's talk about it, if you will.
I need to put my name in the chat or dollar sign emoji or something.
You need a new ticket? Well, let me ask you. When is the convention to begin with? What date? What's the dates of the convention? Go ahead and roll it out to us. Give us your 2-minute elevator spiel.
Oh, I'll see if I can do this. I haven't done this in a long time. So it's October the 13th in Greenville, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an all-day thing. Starts around 3 o'clock-ish in the afternoon at one place, and then it moves on to another place that is going to be at one of these bin stores that we're talking about, where there's going to be prizes in these bins that you can actually go home with for free. And there's going to be items if you want to buy two. You can also buy if you want to, obviously. But there's going to be like cash in the bins. So you can just literally find cash in the bins. And there's two elements to that.
Cash in the bins. That's almost literal and metaphorical.
Literally both. Yeah, it's literally, it's going to be great. And the bin part is, like I said, we're going to just put prizes, money in the bins, let everybody go through the bins, have a good time. Right. And then from there, we're going to, before that, we're going to have to go to this event where there's going to be like a venue. We're going to have food. We're going to eat. There's going to be like bowling and there's a game room and all that other good stuff that we're going to have. We're going to have a nice little dinner, just a nice little get together pretty much beforehand. And I'm going to pretty much tell y'all exactly how y'all make me feel and how proud it make me. You might see me cry a little bit, but it's just going to be a good time.
That sounds like really, a big old reseller shindig party.
Yeah, it is. It's my way of really giving back to two communities, my local community and then like the reselling community at the same time. As far as ticket prices, so there's three sets of tickets that you can actually purchase. There is tickets that you can just, if you just wanted to go to the bins and have a good time and win some money at the bins, that ticket is only like $15, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there are other tickets for the entire event that included everything that I just mentioned. Individual tickets like $50. And then you can buy two tickets at a discounted rate for like $90-ish, I think. So.
Do you by chance have a link that you can drop in the chat real quick so that people can go and take a look at this?
Yeah, I do.
I know it's on Eventbrite, but I can't pull it up real quick, and that's where it gets in my way. So if you drop that in the chat, I'll come over here and make you a moderator so that your it becomes clickable.
I'm gonna pull up YouTube.
And again, guys, I don't see any dollar signs yet. I know there's got to be somebody out there. Maybe you're just doing some real quick life planning or something. I don't know. See if your dates are available. But I'm dead serious. If you want to go, and I'm ready to buy you a ticket if you want to go. I want to get you there. I've already talked to a couple of reseller friends going. Simply because, Dante, when I ran into you in Cincinnati, just listening to you and talking to you and meeting you, you're taller than I expected. I'll tell you that right now. straight up guy, and I knew you. You got a lot behind you, and you mean well. So I figured when you were putting this thing on, you had to have a really good reason behind it. What was your thought process? I know you had said previously that when you came up with this idea and you started it, you didn't even really know the other one was even going on. Mm-hmm. So what was your thought process? Your reason, you know. Let's do a convention. What was your line of thinking when you decided that was the event you wanted to do?
So in the beginning, honestly, I had so many ideas of what I wanted to put together. I thought I wanted to be like a seminar kind of thing at first, where we actually just had like a room of people and we sat down and we like just talked and pretty much taught you some strategies and some secret behind the scenes things that we know, me and some other resellers. I wanted to get a few resellers together and just kind of like, again, have that speech.
Right.
But, you know, somebody kind of backed out. So that just turned into me seeing if I can do it by myself.
Yeah. Well, did it take a lot of planning? I assume it did.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it really did. I mean, still planning going on behind the scenes right now, but, yeah, it did. I just really wanted to see if I can do it after that. Did that? Right. It turned into a motive. Cause it feels like when people gave up on you, but it feels like when people back out or give up on you after you have come up with an idea, then you just like, you know what, just start from scratch and just come up with something on your own. So then I just thought about, you know, it can be something similar to the reseller rally, because then obviously the reseller rally you had was buzzing around a little bit. Right. And again, I had wanted to do something with the bin store. That was my main concept. I wanted to, because I was known as the bin guy, I guess. And I wanted to really just show people the concept of the bin stores and have a good time. And again, like I said, just wanted to give some stuff away. And again, just wanted to see if I can fill a room at the same time. And that's the honest truth.
Did you have any supporters to help you put this together?
No, all by myself.
Look at you, man. Very, very, very cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't seen anybody drop the dollar sign, which means there must not be anybody who has the time available to go. So I'm going to turn the tables a little bit, because I want to give some money away to make up for the fact that I wasn't able to do a good game. If you are going already, have bought your ticket, I will refund you that ticket price up to $55. Isn't that the standard individual ticket price? $55. Yeah. I will refund you that money. If you drop that dollar sign in there now, that means you've already bought a ticket. You're going to need to be able to prove to me that you've already bought a ticket.
I can confirm right now. on the spot too.
So. And I will put your name in the random name generate picker. I keep saying generator. You know what I mean, though. Random name picker. And I will refund you the money for that ticket. So throw that dollar sign or the dollar emoji, something like that. Oh, they're starting to show up now. There we go.
I like that.
I knew that would help. Thrifty Junker. Oh, man. There's Wendy. They're flying in here. You got to keep me honest here, Dante. Help me with the names. Always good. Dark County picker. Dinner,
Wendy, Dark County.
Excellent. So put that emoji in there, or the dollar sign in there, and we will, let's say, we'll give you a minute, another minute. Throw that dollar sign in there. If you're going, there's, what was it, a third of you are going? You've already said you're going? So I should see quite a few, at least five. That's a third of 18.
So my ticket was bought by Kayla. Ooh, what Kayla? Trying to be nosy now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. So Thrifty Junker says, my ticket was bought by Kayla. The only Kayla I do know is the homeschooling picker. Always trying to give back. Look at that.
Let's see what we got here. I got the names in my face right now.
There you go. Wish you were having this in Michigan. Would be much closer for me to make the trip, SSK promo says. Oh, come on, Ken. Let's see. Ohio is, yeah,
they can, closer to Michigan. They can be, oh, no.
You all right? Knock the microphone over?
Hit my mouse.
Oh, there you go. Kayla from Treasures Noir.
That can be my, I lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking about Michigan. It was close to Michigan.
Yeah, that's going to be like the next destination-ish.
Do you think, have you thought about making it an annual or biannual event or anything like that?
Yeah, hopefully I can do it like once a year. That would be really nice. I mean, have it all over the world somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to turn these things into more of like organizational things too. Like I want them all to have like purposes. Like this one, it's me giving a bunch of stuff away. But, beyond this, it's the next one will be like, half the portions of tickets will be donated to some charity where we'll have, the main reason I wanted to have it set up to the, where we're going to like from one event to another. So like in the next ones for the future, let's say if we can have like the resellers all go to like Mount Sinai's hospital, go do something for the children, or maybe we can go to some, like there's so many events or places that we can leave our marks that I really want my convention to be about. And that's how it kind of started. Like it's, y'all helping me help the world in some kind of way, just how my idea of what I envisioning
I got
helping the world. So, and this is just the first one. And like I said, next year, hopefully, you never know, we could be doing this on a cruise ship. There's so many different ways we can do this and handle this and go about this. Like hopefully I want one of the conventions to lead into the very first reseller award ceremony. Like I really want to have the MTV/BET/Grammys of the reseller community where we're nominating people, we're voting on people just like the Academy is. Like, yeah. I really want to do that. I want to rent out a venue. I want to be able to be pop. Obviously, we have presenters. Like, I want to do all that. I want to
see evening gowns and tuxedos.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to, if you're going to come, you got to come classy. I mean, that's what I want it to be about. I mean,
that would be nice, dude. That'd be real nice.
Yeah. But
Thrifty Junker says, what if we do a drive for the blessings boxes?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea, too.
All right. So, Wendy said it. Chances are one out of three right now. So I've only got three people who put their names in there. So let's go ahead and do it. Let's give it away. I'm going to share my screen and we'll make this easy and official. Let's see, share screen. There we go. So we got the three names, Thrifty Junker, Wendy, and Dark County. I don't know Dark County's name. I'm sorry, buddy. I want to say it's Jimmy, but I never trust my memory as far as something like that's concerned. So we're going to scroll on down here to the random name picker, and let's go. You ready for this?
I am.
Here we go. Who gets a free ticket?
Thrifty.
Thrifty Junker. Look at there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, man. Congratulations. And, you know, Dina, you need to, I'll reach out to you via email so that we can arrange all that. Gas money is right. It'll get you there. It's always helpful, isn't it?
It is. Excellent. I get a dollar, matter of fact?
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, Dante. I'm going to round it up with closing it off, asking you if you've got one tip or lesson in life that you want to share with your audience, what would that be?
Wow. There's 1,000 different things I can think of, but I just go with strictly be passionate about something, I guess.
Be passionate.
Yeah, be passionate. Have some kind of purpose in life. You know what I mean? Just don't go through life stagnant.
Stick to it. Be passionate and do it well. My dad used to always say, and I'm trying to teach my kids, if a task is once begun, never stop until it's done. Be a labor great or small. Do it well or not at all. So you got to stick with it. I want to push everybody over to Josh over at Flips Finds Fun. He's got an awesome reseller bracket going on where he's got full-time resellers versus part-time resellers. And they're down to the final four tonight. So I'm going to put that link in the chat for you, everybody.
I want to complain about that.
Do you? Well, let's don't do it on the air. Hey, if you have not yet subscribed to Dante or myself, the links are down below. I sincerely appreciate everybody coming out and hanging out with us in the chat tonight. Thank you. I hope y'all have a wonderful evening. Y'all stay safe out there and have fun picking. Good night, everybody.